You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The trouble with humanity is that it always thinks of its own ideas as being better than any ideas God could ever have formed.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, we make our plans, but you alone have the power to give us real life. In your Son, Jesus, we see your plan for the world and for us all as we put our trust in you. Forgive us our sins by your grace and set our feet on the pathway of love toward what is right and good, listening to your word and doing your will. In the power you provide, we pray to you. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Some years ago, I went up to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, to speak for a Lutheran Hour rally. It was to be held in the high school football stadium, which was the only place large enough to accommodate the crowd that was expected. The rally was to be held on Sunday afternoon, and we all went to church on Sunday morning in a pouring rain. It was raining when we got up. It kept on raining throughout the morning. It rained through lunch. And it looked as if it was going to rain all afternoon. People who started out for the rally turned back because of cloudbursts they encountered on the way. Some of them turned back again and then returned to their original plan of going to Eau Claire for the rally. When they got there, they found that the rain had stopped. People wiped the moisture off the seats in the high school stadium, sat down, and waited for the rain to start again. During the whole rally, the rain held off, and right in the middle of the rally address, the sun broke out and spread a beautiful pattern of light on that football field. Everything went well, right to the end. Then some of us went over to a nearby park for a little picnic of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Just as we finished, three drops fell, and the heavens opened up. I've never seen a crowd scatter so quickly. Nobody said goodbye, and everybody ran to the car in order to get out of the pelting rain. I often thought about that occasion. What would we have done if the rain had started to come down in such torrents during the rally itself? Probably we would have done the same thing that we did after the picnic following the rally. We had no plan B for the occasion. That rally might be a little parable for life itself. People form plan A and never give a thought to plan B. If plan A works out, fine. If plan A doesn't work out, who knows what's going to happen? With a great understanding of life, the writer of the book of Proverbs in the Bible talks about human planning and the divine disposition of those plans. We make our plan, he said, but God has the last word. It is better to have a little with righteousness than to have a big income with unrighteousness. A man's heart makes plans for the way, but only God makes it possible to go that way. Plan A and plan B, not to speak about plan C and D, is typical military lingo. Should anything unexpected or unforeseen prevent or abort the original or preferred plan, with no trouble or loss of effectiveness, the attack or retreat can be accomplished by using the alternate plan. If the alternate plan doesn't fit the exact occasion, there are always plans C and D, which may not work any better, but they're always there to be used if necessary. A little planning is not a bad idea when you're starting a trip. Eventually, the completely planless journey can turn out to be chaotic. God has put us into a cosmos, not a chaos. We can make it a chaos, of course, but God is determined to keep it a cosmos with some resemblance to the plan he always had for the world. The trouble with humanity is that it always thinks of its own ideas as being better than any ideas God could ever have formed. People try to solve their problems and to determine their way by following the paths they themselves have laid out, which we might call for the moment Plan A. That plan usually never considers the hand of God in the lives of people, never recognizes divine direction in personal affairs or in the passage of time, which always seems to have a tendency to change things. Very often Plan A is shot before it ever has a chance to start out. Like a plane without an engine or a glider without a tow, it never gets off the ground. The writer of Proverbs said, "A man's heart plans the way, but only God gets the plan off the ground." That thought is very irritating to a lot of people, especially when they've made no room in their lives for either the sovereignty or the grace of God. Who is God that they should pay attention to him? Even if bound to the earth, never getting off the ground, they want to do it all themselves. They all depend upon their own hearts and minds, and they have no room for trust in the living God. The feeble efforts of humanity, superficially conceived and destined to futility, are often typical of humanity's Plan A. It looks like a good plan. The only thing is, it won't work. The logistics of the situation are against it. The climate is not right for it. The grand purpose of it all is not really worth the effort. That's Plan A. As the writer of the book of Proverbs said, Plan B is God's plan. It may not look as good as Plan A, but it at least has the possibility of succeeding. Actually, it's not a fallback plan at all. It's not just a place to go in case the rain falls by the bucketful. It's Plan B that makes Plan A work, even if not in exactly the way in which it was originally planned. Planning is not a bad idea. Even Plan A is not such a bad idea. If you don't become irritated and angry when things don't work out just as you planned them, Plan A can actually give you a better appreciation of Plan B. Human failure is a stepping stone to divine grace. Man proposes, but God disposes. Plan A, for a lot of people, is a plan to achieve satisfaction in life solely through their own efforts. They will accept help from nobody. They will look to God for no help at all. They are as good as anybody else, and they don't need forgiveness. They will make it on their own and make a lot of money to boot, never recognizing how poverty-stricken their lives really are. That's Plan A, upon which so many stake everything. You might say that the problem of the whole world is tunnel vision focused only on Plan A, which is really a form of blindness, worse than real blindness, because people think they are seeing life whole. It isn't whole at all, says the proverb. A man's heart may be fixed on the way he has laid out for himself, but only the Lord has power for genuine movement toward a worthwhile destination. Plan A, in this case, provides no room for spiritual life or spiritual growth. People stay right where they are, looking down the road, but never getting away from the point of departure, like the man who insists on earning his own way in this dog-eat-dog world, proving himself to his boss, outshining his competitor, and imagining that he has discovered the secret of life. No way. The secret of life comes from God. Paul often talked about the gospel of God that he saw in the face of Jesus Christ, and called it the secret hidden from the ages. It's a secret not to be kept, but to be told. It's God's plan B, not to supplement, but to displace humanity's plan A. Plan B is to be followed instead of plan A. It's not just a minor variation of plan A. It's an altogether new plan coming straight from the heart of God, filled with the unexpected grace and goodness of which God alone is capable. It's not the old dreary way people think they have to follow. It's the new way, which God himself directs with power and purpose. The gospel of Jesus Christ makes this very clear. A man is not justified, put right with God, by the works of the law, the things he does, but by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not what people do, but what God does. Plan B is God's way. There's no other way by which people move to eternal salvation than by the free gift of God's grace. The gift of God's grace is forgiveness, life, salvation through Jesus Christ, God's Son. There's nothing that you or anyone else can do to earn or to deserve salvation. That's the truth of the matter. It's also the glory of the matter. You may make your plans, but it takes God to direct your actions. A good deal of the stress of life arises out of discontent and disappointment caused by the failure of so many plan A's. Things did not work out as they were planned. Dreams never came true. The outlook, which looked so promising, turned out to be so bleak. The world doesn't owe everybody a living. At least the world doesn't see itself as having that obligation. Plan A isn't what it was cracked up to be. The tension is heightened when people have no plan B to which to turn. It isn't that no plan B exists, but people don't have either the will or the intelligence to see it. If they do hear about it, they won't believe it. God has to use unusual methods to get through to people. He allowed his Son, the Redeemer of the world, to die on a cross in order to get through to people. The arms of his Son were outstretched for the whole world to see. It was a striking sight, the Son of God dying for the sins of the world in a most degraded way. That's God's great plan B for the life of the world. God was there at Christ's cross and at the tomb from which the stone had been rolled away. At the cross of Christ, the taut tension of the world was broken like a worn-out old rubber band. Christ took the death of the world into his own heart, and out of his heart pours life for all of humanity. The cross of Christ is God's plan B for the life of the world. Plan B is a thing of faith. It calls for confidence and trust in God, who sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Plan B completely displaces plan A. Jesus took the place of everyone in this wide world of ours. It's new life with faith and love, bringing life and salvation to all who believe in Jesus Christ. It's a new way for all who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Two boys went fishing with their father. One was only 5 years old and the other was 8. Just as they started fishing, each of the boys got his line completely tangled. The father stopped fishing and began to help the boys get their lines untangled. The 8-year-old had been fishing before, so he would not let his father help him. "I can do it myself," he said. The 5-year-old was glad to have his father help him. Pretty soon the 5-year-old and the father were fishing again, but the 8-year-old spent all morning fussing and crying about his line. He simply could not get it untangled, but he did not want his father to help him. His father let him do that if he wanted to. And the 8-year-old never got to fish at all that morning. Like the boy who never got to fish, people fuss and quarrel, becoming more and more unhappy, building up tensions and stresses in their lives, completely refusing to put their trust in God and to let him direct their way. "Without me, you can do nothing," Jesus said. It's not an overstatement. I've known people who claim to follow Jesus Christ, going the same way of frustration and desperation as the rest of the world, because they insist upon hanging on to Plan A, the wrong way of doing things, instead of giving in and going out in the power and the purpose of the Lord with faith in Him and love to guide their actions. Plan B, propelled by God's grace and mercy, is the glory road. But it's not all glory for those who follow it. There are duties to be performed and obligations to be fulfilled. The redeemed in Christ are called upon to be sons and daughters in the family by faith in Jesus Christ. That means they're not like slaves driven to their task, but sons and daughters having the ups and downs that families always have, with obedience that controls and love that warms. It isn't easy. No one ever said it was. Johnny got good grades on his report card at school. The only trouble was that he couldn't sit still in the classroom. He was always talking and getting into trouble. On the playground, he would sometimes become angry and fight with the other children. When he brought his report card home, he had a D in conduct or behavior. His father asked him about it, and Johnny said, "Dad, I guess that's just my hardest subject, that's all." Behavior is the hardest subject for all of us. It's not always easy to be obedient. Sometimes it's hard to be honest, and other times we find it difficult to be persistent in following the Lord. It's hard to be kind, to be unselfish, to be generous. Behavior is always the hardest subject. It's hard to remember, especially at times of great stress or crisis. We may make our plans, but God always has the last word. When help is needed, God helps. The heart of man may lay out the way, but only God gives the propelling force to go that way. The eagle is a mighty bird that lives up on the mountain cliffs. Those who have watched how eagles live tell us that when little eagles are getting old enough to fly, the mother pushes them over the high cliff and lets them try their wings. Those little birds flap their wings pretty hard to keep from falling all the way down. Pretty soon they become so tired that they can't fly up the cliff again. The mother eagle keeps on watching her little ones, and as soon as she sees that one can't fly anymore, she swoops down under it, catches it on her back, and carries it back to the nest. His eye is not only on the eagle, but on the sparrow. He's got the whole world in his hands. He captures the eyes and the ears of people in the grace of Christ's cross and the glory of Christ's tomb. When you need him, he is there. When the troubles of life overwhelm you, he's there. When you could use direction, he's there. When only forgiveness will do, he is there. When death seems to be the end, he is there. When you don't know what to do or where to turn, he is there. Formulated in his great heart and fulfilled in his Son, Jesus Christ, that's his great plan B for the life of the world. Thank you, God, for your blessed plan B, bringing life and salvation to the world in your Son, Jesus Christ. Our hearts plan the way, but you, O God, alone make it possible to live and to enjoy life forever. Thanks to you for Plan B. Amen.